Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests today are Marjorie Rawl, Tirana Assistant Curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum, and Lauren Zumaida, Curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And we're talking about a huge, two huge exhibitions titled Two New England Collections, Joyride, Cars and American Art from the Terry and Eva Herndon Collection, and Uncovering the Human Condition, the Arthur S. Goldberg Collection. Marjorie, Lauren, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you after all this time.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I want to ask you, Nick has been doing, I don't know if you probably knew this, that Nick did a series of Coping with COVID. I think he did five different shows with the director of the Museum of Russian Icons, and it was amazingly illuminating show. How is the Fitchburg Art Museum now? Is everything back to normal?
Everything is back to normal. We have been open. We have a requirement that visitors wear masks, and we have some spacing requirements. But if you've been to the Fitchburg Art Museum, you'll remember that we have a lot of floor space. So that hasn't been an issue. Visitors have been great. Everybody has been complying. So everything, you know, knock on wood, has been great.
I was going to say,
continue to be.
It's like almost, it sounds too good. I wouldn't talk about it too much because you'll get a curse. I'm still one of those people
knock
who believes that.
Wood.
Knock on wood. And people have been good about masking and keeping their distance. And you're right. I think the Fitchburg Art Museum is a perfect place to have separation because the galleries really are spacious.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of room.
Now, this show, it's like, is this one show of two collections or just two completely different shows?
It's two separate shows, but they work together.
So, Two New England Collections is the title of this, and I want to talk about each of them in turn. But first, I want to talk about collecting. Both of these collections, they were always focused on this subject, that is the subjects of these shows. There's the Cars and American Art and Uncovering the Human Condition. Talk to me about how these are collected. I mean, is this typical for collectors?
That's a great question. Marjorie, I'm going to let you go first.
Sure. Yes. So the collectors that have collected the Joyride exhibition, Cars and American Art, the Herndons have always collected art about cars.
I have to ask you, is there a story about why that came about?
Yeah, so they are car people. Terry has worked on cars his whole life. His mom sort of gave him an old junk car because he was kind of a tinkerer. And she said, here, take this car and stop tinkering, you know, with the gas heater in my house and, you know, channel your energies a little bit more productively. Terry and Eva got married and they collected, you know, Ferraris and Porsches and
so wait a minute, there's an actual car collection too?
There was, yes.
Okay.
I think they have sold most of it at this point. They do have an old vintage MG still, I believe, in their collection, but as they got older, it became more difficult to maintain all of these actual cars, so they thought, why don't we collect art with cars in it? They're a little more manageable in terms of size. So I think that's how it kind of came about.
Well, let me ask you about that. If people who have the money decide to become collectors, how do they go about knowing what to collect and what piece is a good piece and what piece is a bad piece?
I think Terry and Eva are a really interesting study in that because they have no sort of art historical background at all. So they are really proof that you can kind of DIY this and they will they just bought what they liked over the years.
Because this is an outstanding collection, the section, the parts that are at the Fitchburg Art Museum.
Absolutely.
Really varied. Really sort of all over the place and a lot of different kinds of styles, a lot of different kinds of objects.
Yep.
And I'm really amazed by what they ended up collecting.
Yeah. And, you know, you ask Terry and he'll say, you know, we pick stuff that we like and things that we could tell stories about and sort of see ourselves in.
Oh,
so that's
wow.
really how they went about it. Yeah.
Now, do they both have the same taste or do they differ in tastes? Terry and Eva.
Pretty much on the same page. They're really a unified team.
Okay, well, let's talk about the S. Goldberg collection, Uncovering the Human Condition, the Arthur S. Goldberg collection,
Yeah. So I think that Arthur would have the same piece of advice for interested aspiring collectors, which is to just collect what you like. And that is what he has done throughout his life, and his tastes have changed, and that's evident in his collection.
Yeah.
So the exhibition that we have at the Fitchburg Art Museum is currently centered around works that feature the human body. But his collection is not exclusively figurative, but that is a large part of it, is people and bodies.
And did he have an art background?
He does not. So he works.
I'm sort of amazed that, like, do people with art backgrounds not collect art? Do they do other things? I mean, it's incredible that these people who have no art backgrounds are managing to collect stellar pieces and really fascinating eclectic works too.
It's true. So Arthur worked in transportation. He was a businessman, but he actually has a side gig going as a composer and a musician.
Wow.
But Arthur
of classical. Wait a minute, I have to ask you about that because I'm fascinated by composers. Is it of classical music works or jazz works or what?
Not quite classical or jazz. Arthur would describe it as avant-garde. Some of it is instrumental. Some of it has lyrics. So something that maybe you'll have to investigate a little bit further beyond this conversation. But.
Wow.
But yeah, so definitely an interest in music. But Arthur he sort of immersed himself in art circles. So he lives outside of Boston, and he went to galleries, and he went to openings, and he got to know artists. And so he really just sort of immersed himself in the art circles. And that's, I think, how he gained a lot of his knowledge, or I guess you could say education, although not so formalized.
Now, let's start talking about one of the collections first. We'll start with Joyride, Cars and American Art. First of all, I think for the viewer, that's an absolutely easy collection to get into, because cars are so much a part of the American psyche. Even if you don't drive, like myself, you're fascinated by cars.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the point of the whole show. It's kind of how I went about organizing their collection, is really focusing on highlighting that the car is much more than a car. It's influenced our environment. We all have memories and personal and collective histories attached to them. So it's kind of a show about the car as an icon, a visual symbol, rather than a functional kind of mechanism.
Now, this is only part of the collection that's on view?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's about.
So, did you get to choose the pieces?
Oh, yes. That was the fun part, Mark.
Wow. So, how many works are in the total collection?
There's over 200 pieces, probably close to 250, and I have to narrow it down to about 80. If you come to the show, you'll see about 80 works.
Wow. There's a lot of photographs. Are those part of the collection too?
Yes, they are. Yep. And the Fitchburg Art Museum, being kind of known for our photography collection, I really wanted to highlight.
Yeah.
The Herndon Photography Collection.
And I want to take that moment out then to pay tribute to your curator who passed away recently. And I always loved having him down the station.
Yeah, Stephen Drecke was...
I've known him since he was at the Worcester Art Museum.
Yeah.
And he was a joy to interview. I want to say that.
Oh, yeah. Joy of a person. A really, like, giant in the field of
he
photography.
He was.
He was a force, for sure.
He was ahead of the curve. So back to cars. Let's talk about the photographs first.
Yeah.
There are some photographs that are just like stunning. Javon Bayer, and by the way, they're from all over, right? They're not just from they're from America, or are they from other countries too?
Mostly American. A couple, there's a Mexican artist, I would say predominantly American.
But the photographs can take place outside of America. For instance, John McCutcheon has a Iraq evacuation car.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that work for a minute, because that's amazing.
That is a work that was actually gifted to the Herndon, sort of in honor of their first showing of their collection back in the 90s. They had a large exhibition that sort of traveled around the country, but the Museum of Our National Heritage, which is now closed, I think it was in Lexington, Mass., sort of organized it. And the curator that organized that exhibition gifted them this. It's a little dark. I mean, it is kind of a dark picture of kind of cars and sort of a war zone, but it was kind of gifted to them in honor of that exhibition and working with them.
Well, it's amazing. Several of the photographs seem to have like a really sort of, maybe not dark, but a weird pensive aspect to them. I'm talking about Shelley Graham. Is it Shelley Graham?
Yeah.
Cadillac Ranch, and that was a known sculpture for decades.
Yeah.
And this photograph really shows that piece sort of in decay.
Can you talk
about, first of all, what Cadillac Ranch was?
I'm actually not entirely sure. I believe it's in Texas.
Yep.
And it was this kind of a monument where I believe artists could go and that you can kind of see the graffiti on the cars. And I think people could go and sort of tag these Cadillac cars that were sort of stuck into the ground there. And then this artist traveled along Route 66, photographing across the country. And so that kind of captures this kind of artistic monument, I think.
But as they are now, they're all covered with graffiti. And that photograph, they're in water.
Yeah, the water is, and then they've got the reflections in the water, which is really gorgeous. Yeah, it's a really interesting photo.
And then William Royer's Loneliest Highway, photographed in 2010.
That's actually a photograph of where Terry grew up. Terry is from Kansas, and that is not too far. That's a highway that is not too far from where he grew up in sort of rural Kansas.
And there's some that are just, I just enjoy seeing. There's Meridel Rubenstein's Lowriders photograph. I love that. And can I ask you about lowrider culture? Will you not know what it is?
I mean, I know what it is generally.
Okay.
I don't know too much.
I actually collect little plastic figures of lowriders.
Cool.
Yeah. No, there's a whole series of them that came out about 10 years ago that are great. But that's such a specific thing among the Latinx and I'm in awe of lowriders and their cars. The cars are amazing. Yeah.
And this image comes from a whole series of them, Mark. So you should check it out.
Really?
There are a lot more images. She did a whole series of lowriders.
I have yet to go see like a lowrider exhibition where they pump the cars up and have them on like two wheels and wow. Now, there's all sorts of pieces, too. There's Angel on the Four-Level Interchange by Steve Lapin. Describe that for me.
That piece is really wild.
I know that.
It's really exciting to see it in the museum space, too, because it takes on this whole different sort of aura. But she is sculpted coming out of this piece that sort of hangs on the wall. She's a figure, and she's kind of wrestling this four-level interchange highway system in Los Angeles. And Terry writes about her, and he describes her as this kind of like goddess figure that's kind of wrangling the cars. So it's really stunning.
My favorite piece in the show.
It's pretty great.
And I
put it on this bright red wall, so she really impacts you when you walk into the gallery.
Now, there's some really famous artists in both of the exhibitions. I mean, well-known one. John Sloan, Fifth Avenue, 1941.
Mm-hmm.
A really great painting. What was amazing to me, Molly Luce, Suburbia, 1924.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I never thought of people thinking about suburbia back then.
I know. That piece is really early, and I was going to write about suburban development in the 50s, and I was like, wait a minute, this painting is from 1924. So it is kind of interesting to think about the development of suburban America that early on.
And you have a Norman Rockwell.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Norman Rockwell, I think it was back in the 60s or the 70s, was trashed from hither to yon. And it seems like in the last two decades, Norman Rockwell has really, his reputation, his work has really changed in the viewer's eyes.
Yeah. I think so, too. And it's kind of a dark one. I mean, it's
again, you say, I know,
pollution.
There's really thought pieces in this. And a lot of people don't realize that he did not happy paintings.
Yes, but that's what everyone says when they see it. They're like, I'm not used to seeing Norman Rockwell this moody.
It's called Pollution. It was done in 1965. Mm-hmm. And it's got car tires like polluting like a stream.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got this kind of factory scene in the background.
Yeah.
It's not great.
You also have a classic 1960s pop artist, nude, Mel Ramos. which has got one of these pinup girls with a spark plug. And that's work that I'm really wondering has not been reevaluated since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of feminist history has gone on between now and then.
Yes.
And it's funny to see it now because it's now like so far removed, it's weird.
And there's kind of an art historical reference in there. The spark plug is a reference to a Francis Picabia print. So
that's right.
Got a
that's
little
right.
more going on than just
yeah.
the lady,
however, it's still Mel Ramos was famous for those paintings with like yeah, like on butter and all sorts of stuff. And it's just really funny. Those are what he's one of those classic artists of the 60s, and I really wonder about how his work has been like reevaluated, but that that's like amazing. That's really fantastic. Now you're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests today by phone are Marjorie Rawl, the Tirana assistant curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum, and Laura Zamita, curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And we've been talking about two shows. They're sort of collectively known as two New England collections, but it is Joyride, Cars in America, Art from the Terry and Eva Herndon Collection, and Uncovering the Human Condition, the Arthur S. Goldberg Collection. Both of you need to know the out dates for these shows.
Both of them close on January 9th.
So you
there's
have plenty,
time. Come in and see them.
There's plenty of time to come see them. But you should also say when the museum is open.
That's a good one. So the museum is open Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday through Friday, we are open 12 to 4. And Saturday and Sunday, we're open 11 to 5.
I got a general question for both of you about collectors and museums showing their collections. Since it always benefits the collector to have their work shown at a museum, are you approached often by collectors to show their private collections?
Not so much. More often by artists, but not so much by collectors. And some of that, I think, is because collectors have a range of comfort levels with putting their art out into the world. Some are very private, and others are much more comfortable sharing.
Are they worried about something could happen to their work or anything?
Certainly, the work or just, having their name known as somebody as a target of sorts.
Oh, yeah. But are you approached every once in a while by collectors then or do you seek them out?
It's one of those things that comes up through just good old networking.
Okay.
You know, people like to say, oh, have you met so-and-so? You should go meet them and look at their collection. So it comes up, but I'd say less often do I have collectors coming out and introducing themselves, I guess.
Let's talk about Uncovering the Human Condition, the Arthur S. Goldberg Collection. I found this to be a much more complex and varied collection of works. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of darkness and there's a lot of just beauty in this collection, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you determine what works? In other words, you said that they collected a lot of different kinds of works. Were you the one that said, I'm going to just show the works that have to do with the human condition?
So I will say that this is a project that actually started before I came to the museum as curator in January. So it was a project that was handed off to me, and the focus point of the human figure had already been determined. But I think that because Arthur had so many figurative works in his collection, and knowing that it was going to be shown across from the Herndon collection, which focuses on cars, that the previous curator, Lisa Crossman, and the director, Nick Capasso, had thought that it would be interesting to sort of play those two focus points off of each other.
It's an amazing collection. There's a lot of stuff there's a lot of different styles in this collection, a lot of different kinds of work. There's interesting work of all different kinds. Let's just talk about, and there's a lot of major artists represented, like Milton Avery and other ones. Let's talk about Nancy Adler, The Power of Suggestion, 1997. It's oil and wood panel, which I think always that combination is always sort of fascinating to look at.
That's sort of a fascinating piece. So it shows a man who is lying down on a sort of a white sheet. And he has an open book across his lap, and he is completely nude. And the book shows a painting that is a well-known painting, and I'm going to blank on who that is by. But it's a well-known painting of a recumbent man who is nude on the lap of a recumbent man who is nude. And so I think that there are a couple of things that the artist is trying to do. I think that she is thinking about art history. She's thinking about this compilation of past and present. And the title, The Power of Suggestion, really gets to the heart of, I think, what she's trying to get to, which is this vague sort of ethereal suggestion of making connections without giving exact guiding points. So I think she wants us to think about the human condition and just sort of reflect with past and present with that work.
The works that are in this exhibition, like I said, this is a complex exhibition that have a lot of different reference points. I'm fascinated by self-portraits. Mm-hmm. There's one, I think it's Annie Heise, self-portrait.
Annie Heise.
Self-portrait through frosted glass, which was painted in 2006. I find that a fascinating self-portrait.
It is. So this is one where she is basically standing inside a shower that's a little bit seamed up, a little bit foggy, and she's looking out through the glass with her hands up on it. And I think that it is interesting that you noted that there are so many self-portraits, because I think that when we consider how artists kind of make sense of their place in the world, depicting themselves in a self-portrait really sort of helps them work through that. And so some are very clear and very precise, and others, like this Annie Heise, are kind of hazy. And what she's trying to get to is that the haziness of the portrait relates to how we think and how we remember. So memories are not always very clear. They sometimes are very imprecise. And I think that's exactly the quality that she's trying to get through in her work.
There's some that I saw them and I went, whoa, Taizo Kuwahata?
Yes, the pink beard.
What up? That's going to be one of the strangest works in the entire collection.
It is, right?
Yeah, it's startling and it sticks in your head.
The best part about that one that you wouldn't know from visiting the show is that the collector, Arthur Goldberg, hanging it in his house, decided that it would look really fun upside down. So in his house, that actually hangs upside down.
That's a weird story. That's
I
don't even know what to say about that. Wow. So do you know anything about the artist in general? Is that something that artist does? That style? You're right. You know, I actually have a reproduction of that work in front of me right now, and I'm going to turn it upside down, and it's really funny. It's like there used to be these puzzles for kids where you could turn the head upside down and like it'd be angry, and right side up it'd be happy. That's sort of like that. Yeah.
It works upside down. It really works.
It does.
But you couldn't in good conscience hang that upside down.
No.
So as a collector, you can do whatever you want to that sort of beauty of it, right?
You bought it. It's yours. Is there a challenge?
That's another self-portrait.
I know. What? The artist?
Not exactly what he looks like.
Oh, I was going to say. Oh, my God.
On a self-portrait.
That really scared me, because if he looks like that, I think that's really weird. Again, some of the classic artists you have in here, Philip Perlstein. 1982. Again, he did a lot of studies of the human body, and how does that fit into his oeuvre? It's a great painting.
Yeah, that's a great question. It is sort of a classic Philip Perlstein. He did a lot of nude women, and he would have them come sit in his studio, and he would paint from life. And the thing about his nudes is that he always juxtaposed them with just sort of a variety of different objects and things. So you'll very often see like a brightly patterned rug or just decorative objects from around the house. So you know, like a blow up dinosaur, perhaps. And so it was always these juxtapositions, I think, that he was looking at, and looking at working from life and from the things that were right in front of him. And so this particular nude is sitting in a hammock, so kind of a colorful netted hammock that you're kind of seeing from the side or from underneath. So you're looking at this figure with this this net kind of across from her. And I think that in many ways it's sort of a classic Philip Pearl scene. You can see the wooden floor of his studio that's visible in many of his nudes. So, it's a great work.
There's also great sculptural works. In this, Natalia Arbelez, who's Colombian American, and that brings up these works are from all over the world.
They are. So there is certainly a strong focus on Massachusetts-based artists that I think shows Arthur's the fact that he would get out there and sort of meet people. But there is certainly several international artists as well,
like Akio Takamori, Japanese artist. That is like something out of a manga.
That's another fun work, right? The crawling baby.
There's works that are, like, again, you could just see this one work and it'll make your day. And you have just so much of the work. Some of it is just unusually beautiful, like Kostas Ulavicius, who's American Lithuanian. It's Blue Adonis too. Talk to me about that material. It's glazed earthenware. It has a very unusual quality.
Yeah, so I think that it's that blue color that really kind of sets it apart, right? A big blue head. So when you see it in person, the surface is not shiny. It's kind of matte. And I think that part of the fact that it's all in blue kind of really gets to the materiality of it. So it's a sculpted work made out of clay. But it's very, it looks very heavy and very solid when you see it in real life.
There's so many works that are so varied in this show. I really recommend people like sort of maybe visit once to get a general idea of it and probably go back again and spend some time with the ones that really sort of caught your attention or that you felt like you really enjoyed. Are there works that really spoke to you in this part of the, in this particular collection?
You actually have mentioned a couple of my favorites. So the big pink beard is sort of a fan favorite.
Okay, that's worth the price of admission alone. People should just come to see that work that we've been talking about. And the fact that it was hung upside down now, I can't unsee that. And that's going to be with me forever. We're completely out of time. Now, these shows are up till when?
Until January 9th.
And the hours of the Fitchburg Art Museum?
12 to 4 Wednesday through Friday, 11 to 5 Saturday and Sunday.
It's always a great museum to visit. There's always something happening there. These are two amazing shows. My guests today are Marjorie Rawl, Tirana Assistant Curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum, and Laura Zamita, Curator at the Fitchburg Art Museum. And we've been talking about two New England collections, Joyride, Cars and American Art from the Terry and Eva Herndon Collection, and Uncovering the Human Condition, the Arthur S. Goldberg Collection. Both of them are worth your time and an effort to go and see these. Thank you both, Marjorie and Lauren, for your time.
Thanks, Mark.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.